Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So then I should have been going when I was 16.
Auntie is a mentality.
Y'all can be in denial if you want. We are the Essence Fest demographic.
I feel like 30 when you're 30.
Okay.
I have a
whatever helps you sleep at night.
I have 2 whole years.
Welcome to Job Logs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi there, I am Joy Marie.
I'm Courtney.
And this is Job Logs.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Greetings. If you are tuning in for the very first time, we're so excited to have you. We're digital marketer. Well, Courtney's a digital marketer. I'm a regular marketer here in New York City. And we've been doing the show for a little while.
Yeah.
So we like
think of it as like your coworkers, colleagues, G-chat conversations.
Yes.
Put into a podcast.
Exactly. And we talk about career, we talk about work, but we try to keep it real. We've been friends since high school now. Mm-hmm. And we both moved to the city. So if you don't have a little crew that you could talk to about work, stuff you're dealing with your boss and stuff, consider us your girlfriends.
Yes. Yeah, so here's how it works. We have our full-length episodes where we talk to amazingly dope young professionals. Mm-hmm. And then we have our little mini bite-sized episodes in between every other week to give you just really great takeaways to empower you on your career journey.
Yes, yes. And if you're looking for somewhere to start, I highly recommend episode 13. We talked to a career coach from General Assembly. And Forbes, she laid down the law in terms of getting a raise and negotiating your salary. Yeah. Oh my God. People have like come up to us and said they've already gotten raises and promotions. So that would be an excellent start. But yeah, we usually kick off the episode with a few updates. So coming up in the rest of this episode, we're actually joined today with one of our other career savvy girlfriends here, Erin.
The illustrious Erin Stiles.
Yes. Hello.
Hi there. Welcome back.
Thanks.
So Erin was actually a guest on episode 2. She joined us to talk about her career in CorpCom, corporate communications, media, entertainment. Mm-hmm. And that was an awesome episode, so go back and check it out. But yeah, we're just going to be kicking it in the studio, having fun.
Cool.
It'll be a good time. And so we are going to be talking about everything from applying to jobs internally. If you work at a company or you're looking at applying at other opportunities, taking some listener questions, and just talking about accountability and how we kind of do that as friends. We've all been friends since like high school. Also, March 5th, New York City.
March 5th, market. Stamp it.
Yes.
RSVP.
It's going down.
To what?
We are having our anniversary event, and we are super, super excited. It is going to be an improv brunch. So I know some of y'all been asking, like, what is improv? Why an improv brunch?
What?
Yeah.
So Erin, people don't know what improv is?
Yeah, some people don't. Like, I've been asked what improv is. So Erin, you introduced me to improv. Remember that?
What was that huge obsession of mine.
Do you remember the show we went to? You took me
to? Well, we went to Upright Citizens Brigade Theater on 23rd Street or 27th, something like that.
It was Donald Glover, who's now Childish Gambino. But we went to see him when he was like very indie.
Former NYU RA.
Yeah. Oh, was he really?
Mm-hmm. He was my friend NYU. Nicole's RA.
Oh, nice.
Or like
nice.
In her building.
So improv essentially is just like acting and thinking on your feet and responding to react like situations real time, and like you're given like a scene and you have to add to it and kind of just respond to it in the moment. And the reason we thought it'd be cool to do an improv brunch is because a lot of those skills can be applied directly to work. So you know, if your boss says something out of left field to you in front of all your coworkers, you know, these are skills you can use to apply to reacting to that situation in the moment.
Yes. Also brainstorms. Also, you know, networking, conversation,
collaborating with team members.
Yes. Just keep you generally on your toes.
Yes. All things we are going to learn. So check it out. It's going to be such a good time, and tickets will absolutely sell out. So get yours at joblogs.com/improvbrunch. We can't wait to see you there.
What's the brunch going to be?
Quiches, a cheese board, charcuterie.
Charcuterie. Mm-hmm. That's a word that I learned when I started working in New York City.
Yes, I learned charcuterie at work as well. Let me tell you something.
I'm using that. That's new to my vocab.
So now it's time to clock in, which is a segment of the show where we check in on each other's sort of professional growth, development, what we're dealing with. So Courtney, what's going on with you?
So I feel like the year is officially, you know, not started. It's the year now. 2016. Yeah. It's not the beginning anymore.
Yeah, I'm still saying Happy New Year, though.
No, stop. We had this conversation at my job after the 31st. 30 days in January. 31 days in January.
What if it's the first time talking to somebody? What if it's your first time speaking to someone?
Then you're just mad late.
They've moved on.
Okay. It's not the time.
All right.
But yeah, so I had a lot of low energy at the beginning of the year. Mm. I think it was because the break between semesters, I went from having everything to do to nothing to do.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I felt guilty that I wasn't doing anything, but at the same time, I was angry at everyone who was productive. It was just horrible.
I had a very productive
January. It was just a horrible... I know, that's why I didn't talk to you.
But
it was just a very weird headspace. Yeah. But I finally got out of it.
Okay, cool.
And I think it was... Like, sometimes you have to force yourself out of... Like, when you get into a funk, like, you're just waiting, like, oh, I'll just wake up tomorrow and I'll just amped about doing stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, now you have to get up and, like, yes, I would like to just keep the Netflix rolling, but we're going to choose enthusiasm and happiness, and we're going to go get it.
Right.
And now I'm here.
Yeah, I hear you.
Productivity.
Totally relate to that.
Well, I had a great month so far. Like, February is kicking off really well, which is very excited. I got promoted at work.
Through the grape.
Yes. So exciting.
Yeah.
Really, really, really excited about my new role. And it's going to be, like, more of a manager role. And so it's interesting because already with my new boss, it's like I have to shift gears from being more like executing things more. So just like being given direction and just doing and think more strategically. Like I get a lot more emails now that are like, hey, you know, I took a look at this or talked to this partner. Give this some thought and get back to me with some, you know, some recommendations in like, you know, a couple weeks. Like it's not like do this tomorrow or have this for this deadline. Yeah, it's much more strategic, I guess. And so that is a shift for me. And so, you know, if anyone has recommendations on how to kind of be more managerial and kind of rise up from executing and coordination, I would warmly welcome them. Something also I talked to you about, Courtney, is like, so I was, you know, I was very productive in January, but I had my own form of pettiness. Okay. And that was just, I realized, like, I had to unfollow a lot of people on social media. And I mean, like, people who are doing, like, really cool stuff, people I totally respect, but I would find myself like getting like a little jealous or, you know, comparing. Mm-hmm. And I realized like, I am who I am. I'm not going to change. So I'm going to just go ahead and unfollow you now because, you know, petty as that might be, like that, the energy wasn't good. And the way I was interacting, even though it's like positive stuff people were doing, wasn't good. So I had to just like be real with myself and kind of remove myself from a couple of situations.
Yeah, I feel that. You gotta know yourself, know your worth. I mean, I'll speak to that too with my like, you know, beginning of the year. Like, I mean, when I was like reacting that way to like people's wonderful views, I was like, oh, this is me.
Is
me. I'm gonna unplug for a bit.
Right.
Because it's like, this is completely uncalled for.
Yeah.
know, I was forced to shut down my social media, and it's actually been a blessing.
Yeah.
Actually, not having Facebook, not having Instagram.
Yeah.
I still have Snapchat because that's more of a one-way conversation.
Yeah. Right.
You like, don't have to welcome any comments. Yes. I mean, people can send you individual snaps, but it's just, it clears the mind.
In
I
what
feel
way?
More focused.
How does it feel?
Yeah. Tell me.
Well, it's different because for me, it wasn't so much a choice, but I'm able to focus on different things. Yeah. They might not be necessarily productive things, but things that I lost track of, like marathoning things on Netflix, or the first thing I do in the morning is check Facebook and Instagram. Getting, you know, I deleted Facebook and Instagram, but Twitter, re-engaging with that platform and their moments and all the different types of things, and checking
it's
out different areas.
It's crazy how much time we don't even know we're spending on social media.
Yeah.
It's like insane. Like,
well, they build it that way. That endless scroll, you just get caught up and you just keep going.
No, that's a tactical user experience that they insert into it.
That's true. So I read this funny article on Huffington Post that I feel like is completely my life now. And it was 17 changes every woman goes through in her late 20s. Did you guys see that?
Hear it.
Well, a few of the key points. I mean, there were a lot of really good ones that were like 100% my life right now. But a few of the key ones were that you start to have just like a true few group of friends, and you two are obviously in mine, but you drift away from a lot of people. And like, I don't know about y'all, but like, post-college, getting over the 25 hump, like, I am finding that to be so true. Like, there are just people in my life. And it's, like, totally okay, but, like, we just grew apart. We're just not in the same space. You know, like, they'll hit me up and talk about things. I'm just like, I don't even care, or, like, this feels very gossipy or whatever. There's just, I don't know if you guys feel that way, but there's just, like, certain things that I'm finding myself drifting away from, not even intentionally.
I think that's certainly a common thing that people say in the meme social media world of, I'm going to be focused on these people. I'm removing all these people from my life. So it kind of seems like something that we hear all the time that people are doing, even if it's real, it has become a little bit cliche. Knowing myself, I've always been very, very slow to use the term friend.
I was going to say, I feel like I've been in my late 20s for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Welcome everyone else.
Really?
Into the life. Yeah.
Oh. I think I actually have more friends now at this point in my life than I did at other times. I think that might be more of a personal thing in terms of feeling more secure in who I am and comfortable with other people.
Yeah.
But I always was really quick to use the word associate to people's faces.
That's true. They had a couple other ones, just like your body failing you. I mean, that's me all the way. Like, Friday nights are not what they used to be.
Yeah. But you know what? I embrace the wash life. Like, I really do. Like, I'm not mad.
Like, what is the wash life for people that might not know what you're talking about?
Yes, that's just like washed up. Basically, that's the root word, I believe. And it's just like, you don't, like, you used to be on the scene, like, always knowing what's happening.
Yeah.
And as you get older, like, you're no longer that 18 to 24 demographic that makes everything cool.
Right.
So it's just, life takes on a slower pace.
It does. Like, you're not going out several times a week. You are, you know.
And I know things. Like, even with, what's that Governor's Ball and,
gosh,
the Roots Picnic coming? Like, I would love to go to the Roots Picnic, but I know I'm going to be over it by like 2 p.m.
I had that realization was made in America last year. I want, like, in my mind, I wanted to be there and I wanted to be about it.
But
the reality of preteens and children running across and muddy, like, it just, I couldn't. So, this.
Unless I have VIP seating, then that's
okay. Right.
So then what is the difference between those and Essence Fest for you, which you said is for aunties? Also a festival.
I mean, Essence Fest, first of all, it's paved streets in New Orleans, okay?
Like, and you have
a seat. Nobody's romping up in no fields of grass or mud or anything. You have a seat.
Which makes it
critical.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like the artists are like a cute two-step. Like, it's throwback to the 90s and stuff. It'd be like Usher. You know.
Now Usher is considered a throwback old artist.
Yes. Wow, Usher. That's how you know your team washed.
When I went to LA,
when you don't realize.
They have like a millennial hip hop station. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my God, I have a grown and sexy station. Like, that was a moment for me. Cause like, it was all like
millennial
2000s
hip-hop.
Music. Like, and it was enough to be like a station.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, I'm not going to these children's stations.
Yeah.
This is mine. So this segment is where we share a rant, rave, or review for a product, a service, a tool, or experience, anything that's positively or negatively impacting our professional lives. Mm-hmm. So the goal is like to give you the tip to make yours better or yes. you know, to avoid it.
Yes. And please, y'all tweet us, email us, send us your rants, raves, and
yes,
reviews
we
too.
We could do like a feature yes. user rant, rave, review.
Yeah.
That'd
yeah,
be
yeah.
cute.
Yeah. Cool. What are you doing?
I am raving, sharing the podcast love.
Nice.
There's this new podcast. They only have like 3 episodes. It's called Still Buffering. It's real life sisters, and they help bridge the gap between teenagers of yesterday and today. So one of them is like, I'm assuming in her 20s or late 20s. I think she's a doctor.
Okay.
And then the other one is a teenager.
Yeah, she's like 15 or something. Yeah. Her little sister.
And I... tweeted this out and we went back and forth because it is fascinating. I jumped in on the episode How to Communicate and the girl talks about, first of all, the group texts these kids are doing are fabulous.
Yeah,
it's like a pop-up shop, like you're in it for a couple months and then it disappears,
like an exclusive like
it was riveting for me. Yes.
Rites of passage.
Yes. And then speaking of washed, then the sister's like explaining like how things used to go and
right.
the girl is just like mortified about like you have to call the house phone and then ask your friend's parent to speak to them. She was like,
yeah,
so I have to
we
speak
did that.
To an adult, like I have to talk to them.
That's so sad.
It is sad.
Yes,
we used to do that all the time. You call or you dial someone in on 3-way and
oh,
then your
yes.
mama picks up the house phone and
yeah.
is like, get off the phone, boy. Like, it's crazy that
yes.
they can't relate at all.
It's like I find that generation so fascinating.
Yeah.
So I mean it's fun for like a laugh, but it's also if you're doing like some market research or something
on
the little
children,
babies.
The children.
Get into it because they are just different.
Yeah,
they
it was really good. It was really, really
What's
good.
What's the name of it again?
Still Buffering.
Yeah. I liked when she was like talking about pen pals. She was like, pen pals? like, why would you ever write somebody a letter?
Oh my God, that was the best. In elementary school, when I moved from Texas to Maryland, my 4th grade classes. At both schools,
oh,
we became pen pals.
You had pen pals.
Yeah, the whole class. My old
oh.
class in Texas became pen pals with my class in Maryland.
For who are you writing?
It was amazing.
Though?
I was writing
the other kids, right?
A former
oh.
classmate of mine, and then these
oh.
my new classmates were writing my old ones.
Somewhere else.
What were you thinking? Pedophilia?
No, no, just prison.
Edit that
just,
out.
Well, that's not as is that prison that much lighter than pedophilia.
I mean, I had always wanted a prison pen pal, but we don't need to get into
okay.
that.
Okay. All
right.
It's another
Shifting
episode.
Shifting back. Joy. Are you ranting, raving, or reviewing?
I am ranting. I'm getting back to my ranting roots.
How fun.
Let me tell y'all something. If you have a function, an event, a party,
okay.
a workshop, a seminar, anything that is highlighting a prominent panel of speakers on your flyer, on your website, on your event RSVP page,
okay.
if they are all Cocaina White, hex code FFFFFF, CMYK00025255255, I'm not coming. I'm not coming anymore. Like, I am sick of people having panels, and it'd be like 20 people on the panel, and not one of them is a person of color.
Yeah, I get
like
that.
It's ridiculous. It's getting so ridiculous. And I feel like with the Oscars and everything, and just like not having any people of color nominated, like now more than ever, I really feel like taking a stance against this. And I feel like we need to start boycotting these functions and just not going. So unless right. I have to
well,
go
you
for
know,
work.
I was, because this is going to speak to my hired and fired later in the show. So but when I was thinking about it, like even with the Oscars being the all white, like it's just weird. Like
it's
at the
weird.
End of the day, it's not about like even, it's just weird.
It
like
is.
The world isn't all white people. So why would you have
yeah.
that reflected in anything?
Like it just doesn't make any sense. Like it just, it's so
weird.
Homogenous. And it's just like, I don't even under, like walk outside, pick a person of color, any color, like pick any color. Just like, it just doesn't make sense.
But I think it's indicative of people's, social groups.
Yeah.
And people are going to put people on panels that they know.
Yeah.
And speaks to larger socioeconomics and all of that. I'm certainly not saying
yeah.
I think it's right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting how on the flip side, women, since there's also an issue with having women on panels too. Yeah. And it's like, let's just have more diversity across
that's true.
The board.
Yeah. That's true. No, I
don't
like agree.
I don't want to go to a panel where it's just a bunch of men either.
Yeah, no. I feel like I've been noticing a lot of that more. And it's like I just wasn't woke to this stuff, or I just didn't pay attention the same way, but now I see it everywhere and I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense, because everybody up there is just going to have a propensity for sameness, talk about the same things in the same way. Like, why would you do that?
And it's, I think, I mean, I get the social circles, but then you also have a responsibility if you're going to position yourself as a curator of anything, or if you're going to position yourself as like the industry leaders or influencers or whatever, to a person who is like curating platforms and panels and films and all this stuff. You have to take on the responsibility of saying, I have to go outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I have to challenge my worldview.
Yeah, you do.
And I think that's really what's missing.
Yeah, because your audience and consumer, chances are they're not that homogenous. It reminds me of a time actually on Instagram. I was following this page, and it was like, I don't know, it was like some florist page or something. You know, like these Pinterest, like DIY, like really beautiful space things. It was like an account like that. And they had like tens of thousands of followers, and they were promoting a panel. And I think there were about like 20 women panelists on there. It was a women-centric page, and they were all white. So I commented something like, you know, this seems really exciting, but a little disappointed at the lack of diversity here. Girl and I got into like a 4-page letter explaining to her. And I was like, I'm scrolling through your followers and I see so many women of color. So I'm just telling you honestly that as a woman of color, to not see myself represented here is like, it almost feels like an intentional jab. Mm-hmm. Like it hurts almost. Mm-hmm. And she did respond well eventually, but I think
didn't she open it with like, I'm removing your comment for negativity?
Yes. She was like, I'm deleting your comment because it's negative. So I had to email her on the side and be like, no, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you honestly, as a person that was very excited about your page, I'm now going to unfollow you. And like, but here's the larger, broader issue that's going on here. So guys, if you're planning anything, I know it's not the type of thing people inherently think about sometimes. Yeah. Just be mindful of that. Just make sure you're kind of spreading it across, representing everybody, speaking to everyone. Erin, what are you doing?
I'm doing a rave.
Okay.
About Tone It Up, which is a fitness community that started online with social media with these fabulous women named Karina and Katrina.
Nice.
They had a briefly run Bravo show, and full disclosure, I helped with the PR for that show when it aired a couple of years ago. But I was a fan of theirs even before that show came on the air. So pretty much they're two amazing, strong, fit, confident women that don't just push fitness and healthy eating, but strong relationships between women, which I think is the foundation of everything that they do. So then they're able to spread that wide. Now, I've been able to take what their message is, and, you know, I love meal prepping. Mm. I love working out. It's so easy. They want you to work out 2 times a day, which can be a little ridiculous, but it can be fun too.
Yeah.
But it's helped me, you know, perform better at work.
Oh, really?
You know, when you start your day positively, you know, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to do my booty call, which is what they call their AM workouts. Like, I'm getting out of bed, my alarm's set for 6:30. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my Bombshell Bomb Meta-D shot, which is really yummy. It just gets your metabolism going. Mm-hmm. It has like pineapple juice or apple juice and apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper, and your metabolism is just ready to go. And it's just so exciting. You know, it's a large community, and again, it's targeted to women.
Yeah.
And you're on Instagram using different hashtags, like hashtag TIU team or TIU meals. You track your meals. Mm-hmm. People take beautiful pictures. But a lot of women are, you know, if they have a rough day and they didn't work out that day, you don't feel guilty about it. You post it and say it wasn't up for it today, XYZ happened, and you have this long list of women that have clicked the hashtag and the search
and everyone's
and
supportive.
Saying like, you can do it, like, I have days like that.
I love
but
that.
Let's keep going.
I mean, I've definitely seen the transformation in you. I feel like I'm of the camp that doesn't know how beneficial doing all of that would actually be to my everyday, because I wake up super sluggish. Like, it is tough. It is a battle every morning.
Yeah, I get
to
that.
Get up and get to work. So, I mean, like, you talking about your metabolism being jump-started and just having more productive days at work is really fascinating, and obviously seeing your whole fitness transformation.
I think the accountability is really helpful because, again, you have people that are supporting you if you do poorly, but seeing all these young women that are waking up, you wake up and you look at your Instagram feed or Twitter, or they're tweeting, they're liking your photos, like Karina and Katrina, and you're able to see that they're encouraging and supporting you. They have a beautiful blog at toneitup.com that they just revamped, and they talk about themselves, they will give great fitness tips, really fun meals. I'm obsessed with it.
I love it. Awesome.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is that wonderful time of the episode for Ask Job Logs. Ask Job Logs is our advice segment where we take your questions about life, your career, whatever else you're dealing with, and we respond to them as best as we can. We also open them up to our community on our website, joblogs.com, to respond to in case others have experience. So as always, you can send your questions to us at joblogs.com/askjoblogs, and we're going to dive right in here.
Okay, our first question comes from Anonymous, and he or she asks, what's the best way to apply to an internal job opening at your company?
Well, I just did this, and I have done it a couple times at my company. So I think the first step is to research your company's process, just because some companies have like a very formal way that they want you to do it, and that just varies by company. So there isn't like a one-size-fits-all answer there. But for a lot of companies, that process will include talking to your boss or getting some kind of approval from your current manager in order to move to another role in the company. So as a best practice either way, it's a good idea to just have a conversation with your manager, tell them about the role that you're looking to apply to, and really get their support, because sometimes they actually have some decision-making influence over you getting that new job. I would also say, like, have informational interviews with the people in the department that you're interested in applying to. Yeah, because you want to learn. I mean, you want your name to be on their radar, but you also want to learn about kind of what they do and how that varies maybe from what you're doing, and just overall, like, just get a better sense of the department and everything. And then I think lastly, just like treat the whole process like you would an external job application process. Like, take it very seriously. Don't assume that because you're, you know, an internal candidate that you're going to have preferred, you know, access to the job or anything like that. A lot of times you will be interviewing against other internal candidates and external candidates. So you really need to, like, stand apart and show that you're taking the whole process seriously.
While I haven't done this, I think another thing to consider is you should just be open and see what else is at your company from the beginning, even if there's not another opportunity, if you're interested. So your boss should know even before that there's a specific job that, hey, I'm interested in growing. I want to know everything about X company, and be doing those informationals and learning and connecting with people outside of your department.
That's such a good point, though, because sometimes, like, it's not going to be it's not going to be like posted as a job. Like, sometimes people will create a role knowing you expressed interest in it, or when they do create something, they'll think of you first and kind of partner with you to build out that new function or team. So that's a great point.
Break.
Okay. Why are internet comments so intense?
I wouldn't know because I don't look at them.
So intense. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So do you mean, like, why do they make the people that they're about feel a certain type of way, or why are the writers of the comments so intense?
Both. Like, so I was, you know, Rihanna released her single, Work. Work. And I was reading an article that was talking about you know, people misunderstanding the Jamaican patois, basically, and that she's not saying gibberish. And so I scroll down to the comments, which Courtney has advised me not to do, but for some reason I ended up down there. And I realized there's like this formula for the comments. Like, it's not just like people stating their opinion. It's like,
someone
you
saying
dumb
first.
Imbecile. Like, it's like insult, opinion, and then another insult at the end. And it's always like an attack of character. And I'm just like, why are y'all so intense? Or people will be like, you're so retarded. And then be like, you fool. You can't, that's disrespectful and not political. Like, why is everything so deep?
Well, the... Often the first one is someone saying that they're the first person to comment, too.
Which I don't care. And I just and realized not. That LB is like back, I think.
Oh, it's gosh.
Like
that's
FB
too
fall
much.
Back.
Oh,
right,
FB fall. I don't know.
Ugh. I love internet comments.
Do you?
Because,
why?
Because it's a bunch of internet keyboard gangsters that
so
are
terrible.
So insecure, and their only way that they're able to feel better about themselves is to go in there and act all big and tall in the comments
exactly
instead of just, they're not creating anything, any art. They're not confident enough to put something out there and have it critiqued by others.
Well,
or it's not even that deep and people are just bored and it's a way to pass the time, because I don't think everyone needs to be psychoanalyzed in that way. Sometimes
I just needed to understand why. That's too much.
You I heard talk about the guy, his wife divorced him after she found out he was an internet troll.
I heard about this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is epic.
And then he wouldn't stop. Like, after she said it, she was like, stop doing this. And
he's
he
like,
wouldn't.
I can't.
Yeah, it was like his
it's
therapy.
A form of addiction.
Yeah.
Or therapy.
All right, we have another question also from Anonymous, which I think is very normal when we're talking about work. This one says, I'm 1 year fresh from my bachelor's and luckily have been working in search engine marketing. I'm now looking to transition into social media, but I'm being met with the hurdle of experience. I feel like my digital marketing skills are transferable, and I have over 5 years of fashion experience working in styling, copywriting, editorial, and retail. My question is, should I take an accredited course in social media, or what would you suggest? To be honest, I think a qualification is pointless. If I had a blog, I could probably get the job, and I have started a blog. So, Courtney, you are in social media and digital marketing. What say you?
I think it's totally doable, especially you're in a field that's so closely aligned with social media.
Yeah.
So, good job on the blog. I would expand your thinking to also reach out to entrepreneurs, small businesses, and see if you can do the social for them. Because you really want to build up the portfolio so you can say, this, I've done this. And not just, I have a blog, but I've executed social media campaigns for businesses. Here's the results of that.
Yeah.
So I would do that. And I would also just be flexible when you're looking for a new position, especially when you're transitioning to something new.
Mm-hmm.
Think about maybe you will have to take a step back. Like, maybe you won't have a job that's like right on par with your manager position in this field.
Yeah.
So you have to be willing to cope with that. Also look at smaller companies. There are a lot of times they're much more willing to kind of take a risk on someone.
So that's something that this person can do, like, even before getting a full-time job, is like consulting for smaller companies.
Yeah, definitely.
And
people are so hungry for that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. I love that. I think when I read this, my question, not being in social media, is just like, what social is so broad to me. So like, I think also figuring out what exactly in social you want to do. Is it like audience development, content development, community management?
Yeah, when she said taking a course, I mean, you know, I was like, you don't need an accreditation for something. But if you need, like, to just get more familiar with the field, it may be good to, don't pay a lot of money, but, like, go to something that'll kind of give show you the breadth of what's out there.
Yeah. So I took the liberty, just because I'm not as familiar, of looking up a couple social media manager job descriptions. And I did that because I think a great exercise for anybody trying to jump into a new field is like that research. And what I do is I like to download a bunch of job descriptions for jobs I'm probably not even interested in applying to, but roles that are the same as what I'm going for.
Mm.
And then I like to just highlight the common recurring buzzwords and themes, and that's like the form of research. And then you take that and you look at your own resume, and you pretty much figure out where those gaps are and what you, and you can fill those gaps a number of ways. So yes, a course could be a way you fill that, but you know, you could do that like Courtney said, by building your portfolio, freelancing, and doing work for other clients. Like, you can get that outcome a number of different ways. So here's one I found, which was social media manager at the New York Times. And it says, you know, plan, build, and execute bid-managed ads across social platforms such as Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, and Twitter. It talks about monitoring campaigns and optimizing for performance using analytics, managing a campaign calendar. And so when I was reading that, like, it was interesting because I didn't see anything that was like expertise in the software or, you know how to use this tool. Like, it wasn't really about that. It seems, and Courtney, you can speak to this, I don't know, but it seems like more important to demonstrate an ability to like manage across different platforms and also make strategic recommendations that make sense for those specific platforms.
Yeah, I think it's about understanding platforms more than using a specific tool, because you can always learn that on the job, but understanding how platforms work. And for social media, a lot of people don't realize you need, like, your writing needs to be on point.
Writing,
you
need
to understand how to like read something or consume content comprehensively so that you can pull out like, oh, this is what's gonna really play on social.
Yeah, and then like the analytics piece to me, that's like essentially assessing the performance of something and then making very informed recommendations about either how to pivot to get a better result or how to keep doing something to grow it. So anyway, all that to say, like, I feel like, you know, those are probably skills that you are already doing in search engine marketing and optimization. And so just figure out where you can transfer those things and let us know how it goes. Good luck. All right, so this is the segment of the show where we give a positive nod to folks in pop culture and media that are either really killing the game, we're really impressed with them, or we serve up termination papers to people who aren't. And you can see the whole team, our whole staff, at jobwogs.com/payroll. For all our new listeners, disclaimer, we don't actually employ any of these people. But, you know, if we had an imaginary company, we might.
Yes.
So, Courtney, what are you doing?
I'm hiring.
Hiring.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Courtney, you've never fired anyone.
Have I never fired?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a great track record. Yeah. But who are you hiring?
Beyonce. Every day. Every hour. Oh, no, God. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. The season is upon us, though.
I was wondering how long it would take to get here.
We recorded this the day after Formation dropped, and I've been just like, several people who don't care have had to listen to me. But no, I'm hiring April Rain, a.k.a. Oh. Rain of April,
okay.
On Twitter.
Okay.
She created the hashtag OscarSoWhite. The Oscars will be at the end of this month when this episode drops. Mm-hmm. And if in case you missed it, there will be a staple of actors in attendance waiting for a coveted prize. None of these actors are minorities.
Yeah.
Or non-white folks.
Zero.
And it's the second year in the row this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the Oscars have been just dealing with PR hell.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot in part to this Oscars So White hashtag. And I listened to an interview April did, More Podcast Left. She was on Fan Bros.
Oh, nice.
Podcast.
Nice. I have to check that out.
Yeah. And she talked about how the hashtag started. It really started, like most hashtags do, it started as a joke. She was like, Oscar's so white, they try and touch my hair, like stuff like that. But she saw the opportunity to kind of shift the discussion when it happened the second year, and people were like, they weren't even trying to laugh about this anymore.
Yeah,
so
it's not
then
funny.
The hashtag shifted to like all these conversations online to kind of host those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spurring great conversations, not just on Twitter. Like I watched Hollywood Reporter did a great video with a lot of minority creators talking about what it's like to work in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
The Oscar themselves are changing their membership rules now usher in more youth and minorities and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know that that was the right approach, but
I think their willingness to respond so quickly is admirable. I really do. They could have waited until after the awards aired and then let's work on this for next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're also like 50 years late, but it's fine.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a good point though. Like the membership reflects like who was empowered to make story. So it's going to skew in a certain direction.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can get the need to kind of like shake up how people are accepted into that.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating how long people can be members of the
academy. Oh, yeah.
If you worked in it for X number of years, you're a member for life.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't made anything since the 1960s.
Yeah, and some of them are so salty.
They are. They're really.
Give up their
seats. There's a lot of people who have. I'm just like, where is your publicist? And why are you talking? But, I mean, I've also seen like really more nuanced conversations with like creatives happening. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do diversity? Is it through like changing the membership?
Yeah.
Is it through casting? Yeah. Is it through hiring more filmmakers?
Right,
like, how do you
do
that? And I think those are really great conversations to have.
Yeah, that's true.
In public. So the fact that they're happening and a lot of it has to do with that hashtag. So it's great. And it's a great reminder that, you know, people say, oh, it's just social media. It doesn't matter. But like there are ripple effects
to it. Yeah. I love it.
Cheers to April.
Well, it has been a wonderful episode.
A wonderful chit-chatty episode.
Yes, thank y'all so much for tuning in and
listening.
I don't
want to say
goodbye. It goes by so fast every single time. But as always, you can find us around the web. We're at jawblogs.com. You can get tons of great articles, resources there, as well as all of the links that we mention in our episodes right on the website. We are also around the web on social media at jawblogs, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook.
Yeah.
So connect with us. We love to hear from y'all. We respond every time.
Yes.
We're not Hollywood. We like
not
to talk
yet.
To people.
Right.
We'll never be. I mean, I personally, my vow is I will always respond to you. We
glad
appreciate
we got this
y'all.
On record.
I mean, I love, like, to me, like, the two-way conversation is the best part. Mm-hmm. And although this is super fun, like, it's, you know, we don't get to hear from you guys. So tweet us, reach out. Courtney, where are you on the web?
I am at Cleave Out Loud. Instagram, Twitter, occasionally I snap every once and again.
When you have the time.
Yeah.
What about you, Erin?
I'm huge on Snapchat at She Is Erin.
Nice. And I am Hey Miss Parker, MissParkerr, on the same places. Don't forget to rate and review us if you enjoyed the episode. You can search on the iOS podcast app for Jawblogs and then hit review and leave us a rating and review there. You can also like find us on the iTunes store on your desktop and do the same. As always, thanks to you, Erin, for joining us. Had a really good time with you.
Always have a good time with you ladies.
Yes, and thanks to our producer, Adrian Wagner. Many thanks to our studio here in New York City, Visionary Media. And thanks to you.
Yes, the listener. We do it all for you.
Yep. And, you know, do something cool this week for Black History Month or for the Lunar New Year.
Stay black, y'all.
Yeah.
But do.
Do something fun. Send us a picture. Till next time.
Bye.
Farewell.
So, y'all know my Uber rating is like a 4.2. I've talked to you about this.
Yeah.
I don't under... What's yours?
I think it's 4.7.
I forgot because I don't care that much, but it's higher than that.
Yeah, 4.2. You said 4.2?
4.2.
That's really low. That means you've gotten
world.
Like a 3 at some point.
But why? I'm so friendly. Like, I'm not rude at all.
Do you come out immediately or do you make them wait?
That's a good point.
I think that might be a big part of it.
But they rate you when you get out the car, right?
Like they don't forget.
They don't forget.
Uber never.
That's
right. Don't you rate them negatively if they do something?
That's true, buddy. I'm done with Uber. Anyway.
False.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.